will come to give you one. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Well, it's the 26th, wow, it's the 26th of October. It's literally 2 months away from Christmas and 1 week after that to the end of the year. So I thought it'd be appropriate, both Winston and myself, Dan, we thought that towards the end of the year, as we head finish up, as we come towards the final stage of this year, it's good to refocus about what we're really on about. If you know, our vision statement is to be one community, growing Christ, serving in love. But it's often the last thing that we often forget about, isn't it? The last one. And that is that we want to be generally a community that's reaching the world. We generally want to be that sort of thing. But the key to reaching the world is actually through planting churches. And so while we mentioned this something towards the beginning, early on this year, we want to actually come back to think about planting churches as a key strategy to reaching the world. Now, I know that when we think about something like this, some of us are already going to zone out. Or some of us, I think it's actually too hard. Or some of us too scary. And some of us even ask the question, well, why do we need to focus on that? And so today's a short message I'm going to give, and then wrap up with Winston's going to follow up on something. I want to say three simple things from this small letter called 2 Timothy. And I want to talk about a comfort. I want to talk about a challenge. And I want to talk about the motivation, not a motivation, but the motivation. So let's walk through these sorts of three things very systematically. Notice the word of comfort that Paul gives to Timothy in verse 7. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. It needs to be said that the context is that Timothy was quite scared. He wasn't always like this. He was a courageous soldier that battled along with Paul. But after so many years of being battered around, it really got to him. And also understanding Paul's circumstance, it really was the straw that broke the camel's back, you could say. Timothy was starting to wane and getting scared stiff about what lies before him. And so what does Paul say? He wants to comfort Timothy by reminding him that he's not alone, that he's actually not weak. He wants to remind Timothy that there is a power that lies within him that is unimaginable in its reach and in its power. What does Paul say to Timothy? He reminds that the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid. In other words, there's no need to be scared. The Spirit that deals in us is not one that gives over to fear. Rather, the Spirit of God, what does he do? It's the Spirit gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Power is the idea of endurance. Power is the idea that when you get knocked down, you don't stay down, but you pick yourself up and keep running. Power is the idea that when you face one disappointment after disappointment after disappointment, you don't back off, you keep running that race. Power is this idea that when you look weak, there is still this inner dynamo within you that keeps pushing forward ahead and ahead and ahead. And Paul wants to comfort Timothy, reminding him, you have this power within. The Spirit of God who dwells in you is like that. But the Spirit of God who dwells in you is also love. That is to say, the danger is that when you are constantly seeking to give and to push yourself and serve others, and after you get attacked so many times and criticized so many times and gets knocked down so many times, what do you automatically do? You go into self-defense mode, don't you? You go into a very protectionist mode. You stop thinking about others, you've got to start thinking about yourself. And Paul said, no, the Spirit of God who dwells in you is love that continues to give and give and give, even when you're exhausted. But the Spirit of God enables you to keep giving and giving and giving without end in love. But the Spirit is also self-control. See that there in verse 8? Verse 7, self-control, self-discipline. And what's the whole idea there? You know how it is that when you're under stress, you tend to lose it. When you're under stress, you tend to be very quick with your tongue, very quick with your attitude, very quick in making silly decisions, very quick in compromising, very quick in reacting. But the Spirit of God dwells in us, who gives us the power to exercise self-control. Power, love, and self-control. Three essential qualities to continue to proclaim the gospel. And Paul says to Timothy, you have it all in you. For the Spirit of God who dwells in you, the Spirit of God is this sort of person, and he dwells in you to make you like that. And so take comfort. But while there's a word of comfort, Paul also wants to give a challenge. And you see that, don't you, in verse 8. Listen to what Paul says. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord and of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Now, let's be absolutely clear about what Paul is asking Timothy to do. When we think about suffering, I have to say that suffering, when we hear about this idea of taking up the cross and suffering for the gospel, but for us, suffering often means giving up a coffee so that we can put money into our Compassion Australia. A coffee a week, whatever. Or it means giving up 30 minutes of your day to drive someone to church. Or it can mean making the difficult decision to go to GG or FY or FIRE, even though you're under pressure with exams and study and work and you're tired. Suffering means, okay, I'm just going to do it, even though I am exhausted and tired. That, to a large degree, is what we mean by suffering. But when Paul invites Timothy to suffer with him, what is he actually asking him to do? Well, what was Paul going through? Paul was in prison. But the prison was nothing like what we have here in Australia and many Western countries, which is very big on human rights and dignity and giving space. It was like a dungeon. It was damned. And not only was he in prison, there was the very real sentence of death over him. He was, in his own understanding, his last hours. He knew very clearly that this is it. He's going to be taken out and he would be beheaded. Now, history goes on and tells us that he actually went on, but he didn't know that. As far as he was concerned, he knew this was the last run. And then Paul says to Timothy, I want you to join with me in suffering for the gospel. I want you to join with me. What's Paul actually asking Timothy to do? To suffer, to be willing to die with me. We may not, but I want you to be willing. I think a lot of times we don't really understand what suffering is, but I know one person really truly understood, captured the idea of suffering. And that was Adoniram Judson. Now, I've used that illustration many times in this church. Now, if you be here, my apologies to you. But it is worth repeating the story of the love letter of Adoniram Judson to his the future father-in-law asking his father-in-law or future father-in-law for his daughter's hand in marriage, Anne. If you don't know Adonai Judson, he was the first Protestant missionary to Burma. And he wrote this letter in 1812, and this is what he writes. That's Adonai Judson. This is the letter he wrote. I've now to ask, now this is a letter that Zenith did not send to me, asking Sarah's hand in marriage, right? Maybe Zenith, you want to do a rerun? All right, but this is the letter that Adonai sent to his future father. I've now to ask whether you can consent to part with your daughter early next spring, to see her no more in this world, whether you can consent to her departure to a heathen land and a subjection to the hardships and sufferings of a missionary life, whether you can consent to her exposure to the dangers of the ocean, to the fatal influence of the southern climate of India, to every kind of want and distress, to degradation, insult, persecution, and perhaps a violent death. How do you think I would have responded, Zen, if you sent that to me? Can you consent to all this for the sake of him who sent his heavenly home and who left his heavenly home and died for her and for you for the sake of perishing immortal souls, for the sake of Zion and of the glory of God? That was the letter that Adoniram sent to his future father-in-law, asking, will you let Anne join with me in suffering for the gospel that may result in her own death? Well, the father-in-law said yes. But prophetically, Anne actually died in the mission field 14 years later. And some of his children also died in the mission field from disease and dysentery and so on like that. You know, we always talk about wanting to reach the world with the gospel, and we keep thinking about we need our visionaries and strategic thinkers and planners. But you know what the key to reaching the world? Not our visionaries, not our strategic planning. It's people who are willing to suffer for the gospel. People who are willing to die for the gospel. People willing to suffer, give up all things for the sake of the gospel. Because those are the people who will reach the world. Not our visionaries, not our strategic planners, but people who are willing to suffer for the gospel. And Paul is asking Timothy, there's the comfort, here's the challenge. Are you willing to meet that challenge? But thirdly, there's a motivation. Notice what Paul goes on to say in verses 9 and 10. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but is now being revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. In other words, he goes on to remind Timothy the greatest motivation for why he needs to do what, and that's the gospel itself. And you read through that gospel, they're sweet words, aren't they? Because it's a gospel about rescue. Everyone is wanting rescue from something. And the Christian message is about being rescued. It's about God's kindness, isn't it? You see that in the words of his own purpose and grace. What greater thing, what things that people need is kindness. Kindness of God that he reaches out to save people. It's also about the end of death. You can see that in verse 10, that he has destroyed death. Oh, think about it. Everyone is running away from death, hiding from death. Everyone, the world spends trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars trying to deal with the problem of death. And yet in the gospel message, we have these sweet words that death has been destroyed. And it's about life and immortality. It's about life and immortality. And all of this has been brought to us through the appearing of our Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to notice also, it's interesting, isn't it? That when Paul wants to both comfort and challenge Timothy, He wants to remind Timothy of the greatest motivation, which is the gospel itself, about the gospel itself. See, when you think about it, this is what it's all about, isn't it? In some ways, it's not about the church plant. It's not about church plant. It's a heartfelt recognition that people need to be saved. It's a heartfelt recognition that people need to experience the grace of God. It's a heartfelt recognition that people are running, spending their whole life running away from death, living in fear of death. But we have the sweet words of good news that death has been conquered, that there is life and there's immortality to us in the Lord Jesus. When you think about it, that's what Adoniram, that's what drove Adoniram to invite his wife and to come with him to the mission field. Why? For the sake of lost souls whom our Savior left his heavenly home to come and die for. And this is what church plant is all about. It's not the church plant. It's about people who are prepared to recognize that in Macquarie Field and all in Macquarie Park and all around Sydney, there are lost souls all around for whom Jesus loved and died for and who need to hear the good news about Lord Jesus. And that's why, you know, we want to be planting churches, because we recognize there are people who are lost and need to hear the good news. And in fact, you know, that's why we want to send people there. We want to send at least 30 to 40 people go there for the sake of lost souls, for the sake of those whom Jesus died. But we also don't just want anyone there. Do not be mistaken. If you do not go, those who stay here also need to stay for the sake of lost souls and for the sake of those whom Jesus died. So what does it mean for us? Well, that's why I want Hannah Winston to share with us what the next step is.
Thanks, Ying. For those that are new, my name is Winston, and one of the pastors here as well. The church plant is all about responding to the gospel. It's all about trying to reach a group of people who are lost. And when we think about planting a church, there is a cost. There is some discomfort that goes with it. So why would we do that? And this passage is really helpful for helping us think through how there is a comfort, there's a challenge, and there's motivation, right? You know, we have God's power, a power to be courageous, a power that is from God's Spirit for those of us who are saved, a Spirit that says, don't be timid with how you live your life for the sake of the gospel. But be courageous, make your life count. And the gospel is worth paying some of this cost, even suffering for. You know, we're very good as human beings to try and push suffering as far away as possible. But this passage, Paul is calling Timothy, like, don't push it away, but for the sake of the gospel, bring it on. Be willing to suffer. Be willing to pay the cost, because it's worth it for the sake of Christ, and because we're saved, because salvation is real. The message that has saved us is real. It's our motivation for why we live, how we do life. And so the question before us now is simple. Like, how do we live this out? And what does it look like for us as individuals and as a church? And this morning we want to especially think about this in light of the church plant vision in Macquarie Park. Let me offer you three ways that we can respond faithfully wherever God has placed us, wherever God's leading you. I'm not assuming anything, whether you're going to be staying or going, and God's going to be working within you in your lives to help you think about this. But the first thing is courage. That's the first application I want you to think about. As Paul has called Timothy, don't be timid, be courageous. God's Spirit is within you. And if it truly lives within you, then you have His power to do great things, to do things beyond you, beyond what you would normally want to do, to take you out of your comfort zone. Be willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel. And so that is what I'm calling all of us, no matter what it is. Part of our response to the gospel is to say, hey, as a believer, help me, Lord, not to hide in my comfort, but to get out of our comfort zone and say, let me have the courage to do whatever it is you call me to do, God, to go wherever you want me to go, and keep asking the Lord, to whom shall I go? For the sake of Jesus. And so this means making a hard decision. Often means saying, hey, maybe I have been too comfortable and I need to think, where do you want to lead me, Lord? And so for some of us, that might mean joining the church plant. For others, it might mean staying, serving here, mentoring, giving, sending, and doing mission out of this place. Now, whether you stay or go, the mission is still the same. We're still called to proclaim Christ wherever we are. And so the choice, both sides, is a good choice. But we're called to courage. We're called to keep asking the question, Lord, where do you want me to go? How do you want me to serve? To whom should I proclaim Christ to? Courage is what we all need. Courage to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Send me, Lord, wherever you want me to go. Let's not hide behind our fears and comfort, but like Timothy is called to do. We have God's power to do the things that God calls us to do. And that should encourage us and comfort us and give us the courage to go. The second thing is very practical, and that is to consider if you want to consider whether you should go or not, then this afternoon there is a vision and prayer session at Pastor Tom's house, Tom and Mary. It's at 4 o'clock. If you're interested in that, come talk to myself, Tom or Mary. And it's not just information, but we want to spend the afternoon this evening being very intentional about praying for discernment for us personally, to see the vision of the church plant and ask ourselves, Lord, are you sending me to discern God's will for our lives? To see clearly whether the Lord wants us to stay or to go. If today's passage teaches us anything, it's that the work of the gospel calls us to seek the Lord, calls us to pray and depend on God. So really, this is what I want to call all of us to do. So whether you come this afternoon or not, the final application is this. I want to call us as a church to be constantly praying for what we do as a church individually and what we do as a church. How will you help us, Lord, as a church to be a light in this world? To be ambassadors of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, wherever we are, whether we're in Milsons Point or Macquarie Park or wherever else God might send us, to say, here I am, Lord. Let's keep praying about that. And let's keep putting ourselves in a situation, in a position where we say, Lord, I want to live a life that is courageous for the sake of the gospel. Lord, use me and send me. So can I ask you to keep praying for Milson's Point, and to keep praying for the church plant, Macquarie Park, and future church plants, because it is all for the sake of Jesus. You know, we have this renewal project. And if there's one thing that I want to encourage you to think about, as you, you know, it's this big, big thing. But also church planting is also a big, big thing. And one of the things I've struggled with is like, oh, can we take on all these new challenges ahead of us? And I want to say we can. With God's power and help and strength, we can do these things. But how we think about both these things actually is in the same way. We don't renew, and renovate property just to give us more comfort, because that is not a good enough reason. We renew and renovate our property is because we believe in the mission. We believe that by doing it, it will help us reach more people. That's why we renew. And it's the same reason why we plant a church. It's because we want to reach more people for the sake of the gospel. And so can I encourage all of us to be committed to praying about these things for that reason and to respond for the sake of the gospel? Prayer is right at the heart of everything that we do. It is the engine room of all of our goals as a church, individually and as God's church. So let's commit to praying. So be courageous. Come this afternoon if you have this inkling that God wants you to think about this. Come this afternoon. And third, be committed to praying. Let's pray together now. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you saved us, that you gave us your son Jesus, so that we can have this relationship with you, our creator and our savior. So we know our hope in heaven. We know that this life is only temporary and our eternal home is with you, Lord. Help us to live this life in a way that counts, that is courageous, that doesn't settle for things of this world, but is willing, Lord, to get out of our comfort zone, to be willing to suffer for the sake of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We pray in his name. Amen.